In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Thursday, February 28th, 2013 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today it's Industry Chatter. My guest on the program today is Con Leong. He's the CEO of ZL Technologies and president and co-founder of that company also. Con, it's great to have you in the studio. Thanks for being here today.
Good to be here.
Tell me about your company and what you do for your clients in the federal sector, please.
ZL Technologies makes software that enables very large organizations to manage their content. And by that, I mean all this messy stuff like email, electronic files, PDFs, PowerPoints, and including all of the instant messaging, the Twitter, the social media, and the like.
The capture of all of that is particularly challenging now for agencies because it is coming, as you mentioned, from so many different sources. What are the challenges that agencies come to you and say, we can't get a handle on this and we need somebody with your company's expertise?
The problems that are endemic today are multifaceted. First of all, there is the storage issue because email and files and so forth are notorious for all the duplicates that they contain. Secondly, there is the regulatory and compliance pressure. Even federal agencies have to comply with certain rules, such as archiving their content per NARA rules. And also, there is the occasional need to answer e-discovery requests. And that's quite a challenge in today's chaotic environment. And lastly, there's the issue of managing for records retention. That's probably the hardest one.
Why is that the hardest one? Is it because agencies still struggle with managing all of these different sources or understanding what is a record they need to keep and what's not or some other thing?
The federal agencies are required to maintain records per NARA requirements, NARA standing for the National Archives and Records Administration, and they have a certain standard that they defined called DOD 5015 or DOD 5015 as it's known, and it's probably the most stringent records-keeping standard in the world.
Do you have a sense of why that's the case? Is there something about government records in particular, or what is driving that? Do we know?
Because government has quite a large range of requirements, ranging from the normal kind of secure data to all the way to classified, and there are many, many ways to deal with all kinds of information. So it's quite an involved task to certify for the DOD 5015.
How does that level of stringency compare to the private sector? Does the private sector follow along behind the government saying, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us, or do they have a more relaxed standard?
The private sector's requirements are nowhere near the DOD 5015's standards. As such, if they see it certified for DOD 5015, they typically say, it's good enough for me. This actually also goes for other government agencies outside the U.S. They also look towards the DOD 5015 as a desirable standard.
Is there a collation or compilation challenge here, too? It sounds like with all of these things, it's fine to know that you have this many tweets and this many emails and all of that. I imagine when the e-discovery letter comes, that's when you really need to know what you've got and where you've got it.
It's not only finding it, it's also managing it from cradle to grave. And it's the grave part that's tricky.
In what way?
Well, deletion, purging, on cue, based on certain retention cycles, and how do you attach the retention cycle to a particular document? Is this a one-year document, a one-day document, or a permanent archive copy?
How much of that is automatable? How much of it can you set it and forget it? And how much of it requires somebody to have some kind of hands or eyes on it to determine what the status should
be? As the deluge of information increases, automation is no longer a choice. It's mandatory. There's no way that humans can handle every piece of information. Thankfully, technology has progressed enough that a lot of this is automatable and is increasingly so. So that's why, in fact, NARA is our most recent federal customer, and we're helping to define better ways to do it, especially amongst the other federal agencies that may not be so automated.
You mentioned four priorities, and I'd like to just kind of walk through those.
Sure.
And feel free to expand on these to the degree that you would like. You mentioned when you talked about storage that duplication is a problem, and I think I understand what you mean. I mean, I send my colleague Beth an email, and she responds back to me, and what I sent to her is included there. Is that what you're primarily talking about duplication, or are there other issues there too?
That is primarily what I'm talking about, to be able to go through all of this data and say, you know, these 37 copies are really copies of the same document. And it particularly helps also if you are able to trim it down so that in e-discovery you don't unearth all of these duplicates and have a very expensive lawyer on the side opining, yes, indeed, they are duplicates at $800 an hour.
Mm-hmm. Looking for that, when you talk about it in that context, I can now understand what you're talking about automation. I can't imagine that humans would ever be able to plow through all of that stuff. Is what we're hearing from the outside looking in about this deluge of information and the exponential rate at which it's growing the case that you're experiencing on the inside as you're working on this stuff?
Absolutely. It's only going to get worse.
And that's being driven just by the amount, by the ability of people to generate this stuff a lot faster? Is that the primary driver behind it?
To generate, collaborate, to send, all of it.
Yeah. The regulatory part, you talked about NARA's requirements. You talked about the compliance that's required there. What are some of the challenges, the maybe difficulties that you see agencies struggling with when they're trying to comply with the regulations that they have to deal with?
For one thing, it's a fair challenge to actually be up to speed on the latest technologies that can apply to the task at hand. One particular directive comes to mind also that adds additional pressure. And that was a directive from the White House that was issued, I believe, in November of 2011, barely 13 months ago. And it directed all federal agencies to get their records-keeping house in order. And this was, and I quote from the directive, this kind of records-keeping would, form the backbone of an open government.
Mm. The open government movement has meant what to people in your business who try to help agencies sort through all of this stuff?
As the laws have been written, the government has got a certain responsibility to be able to produce for all citizens what they have done in their jobs. So this kind of open government is a very good check and balance.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen an uptick in interest in certain aspects of your business, of the services that you provide, because of open government initiatives? Are there some things that agencies maybe weren't paying attention to before that they are now?
Yes, indeed. And part of that open government, for example, is the need to comply with FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act.
Mm-hmm. What FOIA struggles do you see agencies having?
Well, if you have all of this morass of information, email, documents, file shares, and so forth, scattered across the institution, it's very hard to then answer an inquiry as to who said what to whom when it's scattered in 98 different places.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the process by which the collation happens, the organization of stuff. That seems to me to be the biggest thing that was hard to kind of get your arms around.
Yes, you do have to have what we call a data mapping process. What is where, and figure out what you want to do with it, and then have it provide copies as necessary, and to have it all collated into one place that mm-hmm. can be searched.
How then will people be able to go back and search it? Is it the same as performing a search on the internet when you have it collated in that particular way?
Pretty similar, yes.
All right. When we come back, I want to talk about the concept of corporate e-memories that I have a note here about, and I want to explore that with you. Khan Leong is my guest. He is CEO, president, and co-founder of ZL Technologies, and we'll continue our conversation in a minute on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Beyond and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
The Distinguished Warfare Medal, announced recently by the Pentagon for recognition of cyber warriors, is being challenged. The Veterans of Foreign Wars says the medal should not outrank the Bronze Star and the Purple Heart. Five veterans in the House have introduced a bill that would prohibit the Defense Department from rating the medal equal to or higher than the Purple Heart. A concern? It might be perceived as an injustice to those who've served on the front lines. I'm J.J. Green.
We have a capsized boat, two people in the water.
Every day, EADS North America builds and supports helicopters for the Coast Guard, Army, National Guard, Navy, and Customs and Border Protection.
Rescue swimmer is in the water.
EADS delivers helicopters that save lives every day, including those bright orange Coast Guard helicopters you see patrolling our nation's capital.
We got them. We're heading back.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Enjoy the comedy of Emmy Award-winning Dana Carvey and dance the night away to the sounds of Jim Belushi and the Sacred Hearts Band at the 26th Annual Leukemia Ball, presented by Bio in partnership with Genentech, Saturday, March 23rd at the Washington Convention Center. D.C.'s largest non-political fundraiser features a world-class silent auction with travel packages from American Airlines and a chance to win one of two Mercedes-Benz. D.C.'s largest non-political fundraiser, the Leukemia Ball, supports the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's critical research and patient services programs. There are more than 19,000 people in the D.C. metro region living with leukemia, lymphoma, or myeloma. Someone is diagnosed with a blood cancer every 4 minutes. Help the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society cure blood cancer by attending this can't-miss event. To purchase a ticket, please call 703-399-2900. That's 703-399-2900. Or visit leukemiaball.org.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
For those of you who like to check your connection speed, you can go to broadbandreports.com. You can get their speed test. You can test your upload and download speed. I like to do that periodically. Sometimes my Fios download speed gets up to 16 megabits per second, but this morning I had 10 down and 3 up. And you've got 60 megabits per second. I'd love to have that kind of bandwidth, but 60 could be overkill. But I'd say anything more than 30 is probably not worth the money.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
So sequestration is upon us. What's next? I'm Emily Kopp. On Friday's Federal Drive will mark the day most of us never thought we'd see. And at 9 o'clock, a panel of top federal leaders shares tips for motivating employees, even now. It all starts at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And for the latest federal news, check out federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Con Leong of ZL Technologies, my guest on Industry Chatter today. Corporate e-memories is a concept that your company works on, and this is something that I imagine your clients in government are interested in because of the amount of people that are retiring and the need to capture that knowledge and manage it in some way. What are you seeing agencies needing the most in that particular area right now?
In terms of, are you talking about the corporate e-memory concept?
Yes.
Let me back up a little bit and explain the larger view. For all of these last 50, 60 years, IT has been focused on managing and controlling what we call structured data, the stuff that makes up names, addresses, zip codes, invoice amounts, and so forth. That's the ERP, if you will, Enterprise Resource Planning software. And that's been going on, and it's matured. It's very well defined. But on the dark side of the universe, if you will, the stuff that you don't see is all of the messy stuff, as I said before, the email, the Word documents, and so forth. For many decades, we really didn't do much with it because we couldn't. The technology wasn't there. And that's kind of sad, because buried in all of this unstructured content is basically one underlying commonality, which is they were all written by a human for another human. And if this is the compilation of all human communications, and if you're able to collect it, control it, analyze it, think of the power resident in that information, the human side of the equation.
Mm-hmm. When you, I looked at your bio before you came in, and you've been involved with a number of companies over the years. What was it about this particular area that you found compelling? Was it that power that you're talking about there?
This actually developed over the 14 years we've been in business. It was not so apparent in the beginning because, for one thing, the technology just wasn't there. The volumes you're talking about, even in the large organization, are staggering. Let me give you an example. A 25,000-employee company will generate roughly over 7 years, if you're keeping it for 7 years, roughly about 4.5 billion documents. That actually exceeds what Google had when they went IPO. That was the last published number. They had 4.3 billion documents.
Hmm.
You can just imagine the scale of it.
And that's every 7 years, you said.
Yes.
So, and as we talked about in the first segment, I imagine that number increases exponentially as people are able to produce information much
faster.
In
fact, another data point, one large customer of ours once, guys just saw a statistic, they ingested recently 50 million documents in a single day. That's more than twice the number of books in the U.S. Library of Congress.
That's amazing.
That's every day.
So managing that, obviously, is very difficult, very complex. What does an assemblage of corporate e-memory, how does it work? Where do you start when somebody comes in and says, we have all this all over the place? I mean, this isn't just plugging in some software and the software aligns it and that's the end of it. This is a process, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. You basically identify where your data is and then bring it in so you can manage it. Once you're able to manage it in one place, then it enables a whole suite of wondrous things you can do with it, things that we don't even contemplate. For example, if you have a large organization that has silos of information, such as research and development in five different countries, and they don't quite coordinate things well, with this kind of a knowledge base, you can immediately find, for example, who's working on green semiconductors? And then, lo and behold, you find there are five teams working on it at the same time. Hey, get them into a hotel room and talk.
Mm-hmm. Understanding all of that stuff is useful for obvious reasons. How much of that goes on in not just government agencies, but private sector companies too? I mean, I imagine that a fair amount of that happens that people don't really know about.
There is a lot of shared pains and problems and solutions between the private and public sector.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in every organization, there's always some expert in some process or some solution. And with the passage of time, people forget who was good at it and who wasn't, especially with turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be nice if some godforsaken system in the corner suddenly stops working well and you say, hey, who was the expert in that? And then to go back to the system and query it and say, yeah, we identified three experts. Two of them are retired, but here are their addresses.
Mm-hmm. What systems or what processes are companies and agencies using to do the kinds of things or to try to do the kinds of things that you're working with them on? Or are you primarily going into situations where that kind of thing's not happening at all, where this information is just kind of hanging all over the place out there?
I think at this moment, most of the federal agencies and private companies are looking to solve today's problems, such as the four legs of the stool I talked about, storage problems, compliance problems, e-discovery problems, and records problems. But the corporate e-memory, if you will, the human side of analytics is coming in very quickly. The nice thing about it is that if you already are trying to solve any of these four problems, you get the analytics practically for very little additional cost.
Now, the analytics when we talk about big data more broadly in government, analytics is the challenge right now, and mainly it's conceptual because for a long time, it strikes me that a lot of agencies are approaching big data as a technology problem, when in fact it seems to me to be more of a brain problem, because, and not a problem maybe even, because it's much more abstract than just you plug in a box and it works and does what the purpose of the box is supposed to be. This is entirely different. This is a mass of information. I'm holding up a piece of paper. This is a mass of information, and you have to decide not just that the information should all be in one place, but then what is it that you want the information to tell you? Am I on the right track there?
Yes, you can put together a whole bunch of data and make sense out of it that you couldn't before. You can see patterns. You can analyze things from different angles. And we're talking about massaging amounts of data that was dreamed impossible a few years ago. And if you're able to crunch all of that, you can see patterns such as, for example, there was one a concept that really had traction amongst the Fortune 500, and that is, well, can you tell me what my organization feels this morning? Sentiment analytics, so to speak. Can you tell me what the top 10 trending topics are being discussed in my company? We had a layoff last month. How is the organization feeling about it? Do I need to go into damage control?
Mm-hmm.
Or they just took it in their stride? These are things that were not possible before.
And I guess what I'm getting at is, somebody had to decide somewhere, the software or the technology didn't do it for them, to ask what the top 10 trending topics are. Someone has to decide, this is what I want to know from the data that I have access to. What's the state of the art in that, or is that dependent on the people in each organization to be able to decide what it is that they want to know, what information will help them achieve what they want to achieve better?
Actually, there's a bit of a chicken and egg situation here, because certain people can have an inkling of what can be solved. Most of the time, though, they need some help to understand what is possible in the realm of technology. For example, earlier this week, I was at the IDGA conference, which talked about IT problems in common with all of the federal agencies. And when I went into more depth as to what this technology can do, there were some pretty remarkable suggestions that popped up. For example, someone asked, you mean we can use this for suicide prevention?
Mm-hmm.
You mean I can detect who is going to go postal? You mean these were pretty serious, weighty problems.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we could help there.
We're going to talk more about that when we come back. My guest on In Depth with Francis Rose today on Industry Chatter is Con Leong. He's the CEO and president, co-founder of ZL Technologies. And we'll continue our conversation in a minute on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Guiding You Home Safely Report, provided and paid for by the National Air Traffic Controllers Association.
The federal debt limit extension deal passed by Congress assures the federal government will not default on its loans through mid-May. But military budget experts say the extension deal could also increase the chances of sequestration. In the continuing budget fight, both parties are so well entrenched in their opposition of other alternatives, such as tax increases or entitlement cuts, it's possible that sequestration may be the least common denominator between the two parties. Sequestration could have a negative impact on jobs, the nation's economy, and essential government services.
Hi, I'm Paul Rinaldi, president of National Air Traffic Controllers Association. Safety is our top priority, and last year was proof. It was the safest year in aviation history. We represent dedicated professionals who work 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, guiding 70,000 flights a day safely to their destination. Next time you fly, remember, we guide you home safely. Visit us at natca.org.
The Advanced Alliance Solutions Team, led by Technical and Management Resources, Inc., is a GSA Alliance small business contract holder. Here's President and CEO, Linda Carr.
The Advanced Alliance Solutions Team consists of seven IT firms. Collectively, our core competencies cover all of the functional areas of the Alliance contract and supports agencies' enterprise IT requirements. For potential small business teaming opportunities, please contact us at advancedalliant.com.
To learn more, visit advancedalliant.com.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
What's going on? June 8th, I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
For over a century, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington has served the youth in our nation's capital. The club's new STEAM initiative uses the arts to teach science, technology, engineering, and math. Today, more than ever, we need your support of STEAM. It will encourage our youth to think rather than memorize, create rather than copy, and to be resourceful rather than reserved. So visit boysandgirlsclubs.org. Send a dollar or more as an investment to help us help our kids pick up STEAM. Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, great futures start here.
This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Slimming aerobically. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss. With HHS HealthBeat, a study that compared vigorous aerobic exercise with resistance exercise, like you might do on weight machines, found that people who did the aerobics did better at weight loss and fat loss. At Duke University Medical Center, Leslie Willis looked at data on 119 people who did aerobics, aerobics and resistance, or only resistance for 3 months. Willis says aerobics and aerobics resistance exercisers lost a bit of fat and weight. The resistance-only exercisers gained a bit of weight, which could be good because the gain was muscle. But Willis says,
if your goal is to lose weight or to lose fat, we'd advise you to spend that time doing cardiovascular or aerobic exercise.
The study in the Journal of Applied Physiology was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Exhausted from exhaust? Car horns ringing in your ears? Do your brakes need a break? With the D.C. metro area recently being named the worst traffic area in the country, it's no wonder so many of us are overworked with getting to work. Join Mobile Work Exchange to take back your commute and pledge to telework during Telework Week 2013. Pledge to telework March 4th through 8th and get off the roads. Visit Telework Week at mobileworkexchange.com/telework week for more information.
Did you know Federal News Radio can also be heard on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland? Check it out the next time you head to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor. Tune in to Federal News Radio for the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Industry chatter today with Con Leong. He's CEO of ZL Technologies. We've been talking about corporate e-memories. What are the things when you go in and talk to clients in government in particular that they are, I hate to continue to use the word struggling, but that they are trying to manage the best that you're able to help them with the most quickly?
The problem at hand usually is very clear, which is the need to address regulatory requirements such as answer FOIA requests or address the directive from the White House on records or answer NARA's requirements. Those are problems they have to solve today, all of them, all the federal agencies. Beyond that, though, to be able to, you already have amassed all of this human-based information. If you can then apply a thin layer of analytics on top of it, it could make the federal agencies function far more effectively and efficiently because you're basically given insight into your human resources, which is your biggest cost component.
Mm-hmm. That analytics part, again, talking about the big data question more broadly, is really the most important part that agencies are struggling with is how do we know even where to start with analytics? What do you tell people when they come to you with that and they say, we know this is what we need, we don't know where to start?
For one thing, if you take all of the human output, let's say for a certain person, they put out Word documents, email, instant messaging, and so on and so forth. If you collect all of that, let's say for years, 5 years, 10 years, 15, as long as you want. And if you're able to apply analytics on that, basically you have a much better understanding of the employee's profile, their capabilities, their likes and dislikes.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can use that information to apply them to their best use and to their best satisfaction, that is a tremendous leap forward in terms of productivity and basically even happiness.
Do agencies, are they understanding the value of that yet, or is the this process still early enough along that that's still an educational process for you?
It's very early, and in the early stages, it's the customers coming up to us with use cases that are absolutely mind-boggling. Some so simple and so effective. For example, if, as I said, you have a system that's old, programmed in a dinosaur age COBOL, and it's giving problems and you don't know who is the expert, instead of calling a very expensive consultancy you're in and being charged 7-8 figures for it, you could just go into your database and say, hey, you know, these three guys can do that. And this is such a simple application. And then, of course, to be able to have various centers of expertise and automatically coordinate and share information through this common database. You don't have to set up any specific, let's say, ad hoc, oh, this is an expert database. You have to identify your experts, log it in, and then specify your expertise. No, all of this is not necessary. You can actually go in there and say, who is your best expert in green energy?
Mm-hmm. The concept is pretty amazing. I mean, given the where we've come, you talk about the idea of plugging all of this information into a proprietary database and all of that, and that's really where the world has been for a long period of time. Is that the hardest part, is getting people to understand that the possibilities with the information that they have?
Yes. The initial part is more difficult, but once they get into the groove of it, the ideas just start tumbling out.
Con Leong is my guest. He's the CEO of ZL Technologies on Industry Chatter today on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Take a quick break and come back in a minute with more of our conversation.
The Washington Capitals are back.
Ovechkin down low, they score! Green. He's at the top of the right circle. Ovechkin, he scores! There it is! Number one of the season!
Single game tickets are on sale now. Call 202-661-5050. That's 202-661-5050. Or buy your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Hundreds of thousands of furloughs and cuts to every agency program. That's the reality if sequestration goes into effect on March 1st. Will Congress and the White House be able to reach a deal to avert the $85 billion in cuts this year? Will federal employees be able to survive the one-day-per-week furloughs? And how hard will industry be hit? Federal News Radio is your source for the most up-to-date information on sequestration. Find it all at federalnewsradio.com/sequestration.
I'm Jared Serbin. Coming up on the next edition of On DoD, Frank Kendall, the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, in his first broadcast interview since taking the job. We'll talk about the department's Better Buying Power initiative.
We've made progress, but we still have a long way to go. I think we've had some successes. We've had a few things that we didn't get the implementation quite right on. And we've had a few things that we probably could drop as not being very effective.
Join us for the next edition of On DoD, Wednesday afternoon at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You're dedicated to your agency's mission. And at Federal News Radio, we're dedicated to making that mission easier. We give you access to the people, policy, and programs that affect you every day from the voices that matter most. Hear for yourself. DoD Deputy CIO Rob Carey.
5 years ago, senior leaders weren't necessarily too terribly concerned about this IT, cyber. Now it is buried in their lexicon. They understand it. They grasp it. They understand its implications.
OMB controller Denny Werfel.
We create a risk report that tells the agency you have a risk that one of the entities that you're doing business with is actually on this excluded party list and you should investigate further. This is technology that gets the agency smarter, and that can be a real game changer helping us battle the issue of improper payments.
In your car, online, on the go on your mobile device. Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Raindrops hurtle to earth from great distances, and some Virginia Tech students think the energy built up along the way could be tapped. Trees get a prolonged pelting by raindrops in a storm, so Sean Gart and some fellow Virginia Tech engineering grad students are creating artificial leaves on cantilevers.
The more bending you get, the more energy is generated.
Because they're made of material that creates electric current when moved.
And it will vibrate for a certain amount of time, and during this vibration is when you get electricity generation.
The leaves could be arrayed on a Christmas tree-shaped structure.
So as the droplets impact, they kind of cascade down the tree and optimize your energy harvest.
Amounts of energy produced are currently low, but could power small devices in remote locations where batteries are hard to charge. To find out more, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest on Industry Chatter today is Con Leong. He's the CEO of ZL Technologies. And we've talked a lot about the ways that you are helping agencies understand the data that they have and the information that they have and the various ways you can slice it. We've dug into the analytics of it and what you do with that information once you're able to collate it and so on. The next step then is taking action based on the data that you've collected and the ability that you have to parse that data. Tell me about the predictive capabilities from the data that people are able to pull from the ability and how they can, how it improves decision making.
It allows you to see patterns where you could see none before. And if you see the patterns, there's a fairly good chance that the pattern may sustain, and therefore it gives you a better basis for decision making. I would not go so far as to say that this kind of system can make decisions for you, but certainly it can give you a much better basis of information on which you can make your better decisions.
The decision-making process then, as you say, it won't go completely away, but I imagine it can lend some level, anywhere from some to a great level of certitude about what you can expect if you're able to look at the way things have broken down in a chain of events before.
Yes, and sometimes the additional information is pretty stark, and sometimes some people just look at it and say, wow, I didn't know. For example, in terms of analyzing the patterns of communications, even analyzing the way calendars and meetings are set, one can actually track who is the core influencer in a group and how many people regard them as a resource, as a source that they respect, and so forth. This translates to even trying to figure out who are the leaders in your group. And that is sometimes not as easy to perceive on the outside.
And I imagine the people that sometimes top-level leaders think are the lower-level leaders aren't the people that wind up actually being the leaders. Is that fair to say?
Yes, and sometimes we just go on superficial metrics such as who's the loudest and so forth.
Knowing that information is particularly important in government. We talked a little bit during the break because of the government's tendency to promote people based on technical ability rather than leadership potential or leadership demonstration. And it sounds to me like this is adding a potential data point there where you could say, you know, people really do think that this person is more of a leader than this person. And so that gives us a good, a quantifiable reason for choosing this person over someone who would appear on paper maybe to be a more logical candidate.
I wouldn't say that it favors one versus another. What I would say is that it makes for a better fit.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you may want a more technical person for a certain promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then another case is you may want a more social kind of a leader for another position.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see this area headed in the next 2 to 5 years? I mean, I'm sure it's hard to predict, because if you look back 2 years ago, you probably wouldn't predict that the things that you're able to do today were possible, I suppose.
I think we're opening up a new vista, and each year brings a whole new layer on top. What I'm telling you right now is today, this year's view, and it's radically different from last year's, and next year's will be also radically different. This is a time of change in human-based communications and management.
That's probably surprising to a lot of folks that think that people don't communicate directly anymore. And it's true that I don't have a tendency to get up and walk over to the other person that I'm talking to and do it face-to-face. But that, I guess, in a manner of speaking, demonstrates the necessity of the kinds of things that you're doing, because I'm generating a lot more information than I ever did before.
Yes, that's today's mode or media of communications, but we're also looking at yesteryear's communications, such as, for instance, bringing documents and doing OCR, or optical character recognition, to make it digitized and searchable. And looking forward, we're taking other media such as voice and video and making that more searchable. So we're expanding the scope of reach.
Hmm. The legacy systems that some agencies are dealing with, and in some cases just huge filing cabinets full of documents, I imagine you've seen all of it in different places that you've gone. What's that integration process like, where you're trying to manage through where you've got some paper, you've got some digital, and in among the digital you've got all different kinds of things? And I guess there are a variety of different formats in the paper space too.
I think the only way for a long-term solution to this management of all of these disparate sources of information is to gather it all into one reservoir, if you will. And that's the biggest challenge, because it demands a huge reservoir and has to cope with the future growth, exponential growth rates. But if you get that done, then basically all of that stuff is possible and it becomes easier. Sometimes, you know, it reminds me of when the Japanese came in with this just-in-time manufacturing, where they proposed that if you did everything right the first time, you get all of these increase in quality and reduction in cost, and no one believed them.
Mm.
So basically we're faced with the same paradigm today, where we're saying, how can you put it all together, have a whole lot more capabilities and much reduced cost? Same concept. Do it right the first time.
As agencies try to manage through all of this, and they try to do what you say and do it right the first time, what do you expect to be on their radar screens as they get further down this this road?
Actually, the current, unfortunately, the current way of solving these kinds of problems is still what we call the silo approach, a narrow point of view approach, or what we might call the sandbox approach. Even all of the latest and greatest, like, for example, Hadoop-based analytics and so forth, all of them are predicated on a sandbox approach. You set up a sandbox, some small, some very big sandboxes, and you throw in the piles of sand you think are relevant, and then you look for, well, purple-rimmed shells. That is not going to work for the long run, because you have to go through all of the rigmarole of piling on the sand, going through it, sampling it, testing it, finding it bad, and then doing another run. And even then, the data is old by the time you get to the results. The only way to do this is do away with the sandbox. And that's what we do. The approach is Don't search the sandbox. Search the beach.
The volume there is pretty incredible.
But of course. And if you can solve the volume of the beach, then you've got it.
All right. Con Leong is my guest. He's the president, chief executive officer, and co-founder of ZL Technologies. And we'll wrap up our conversation with him in just a minute on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What you don't know about federal pay, benefits, and retirement can cost you. Get the answers you need with a free publication from NARF, the experts on federal retirement and benefits. Download FAQs about your federal benefits today at fedfaqs.org. NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, unravels the most complex rules and requirements feds encounter. Download your free guide today at fedfaqs.org. That's FEDFAQS.org.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Looking to make a career move in technology? Start your search at PowerJobs.com, the new career site made for Washington's top talent. New on PowerJobs.com this week.
Tax Manager Deloitte, Chief Architect Northrop Grumman, Senior Strategy Policy Advisor AARP, Communications Director Luntz Global. Apply for these and other leading positions today at PowerJobs.com.
PowerJobs.com. Finally, a career site made for you.
What is national health security and how do we get there as a country? How are we strengthening public health and medical preparedness, response, and recovery capabilities? And what is being done to ensure the availability of safe and effective medical countermeasures in the event of a public health emergency? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and more with Dr. Nicole Lurie, Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response with the Department of Health and Human Services, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
The Washington Wizards are back.
Spins, fades, bangs, scores, and one. Okafor.
Up court to Crawford. No look pass. Ariza. Stop. To it.
Crawford drives baseline. Whips it in the corner. Sheldon Mack for three.
Single game tickets are on sale now. Call 202-661-5050. That's 202-661-5050. Or buy your tickets online at WashingtonWizards.com/tickets.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Belinfi. The use of data from the Women's Health Initiative, a large NIH-funded study, underscores the importance of volunteers.
It's very important for people, and certainly women, to participate in clinical research and clinical studies.
Dr. Patrice Nickens at the NIH says researchers have recently gained insights on sudden cardiac death.
We have very important information on the incidence and prevalence of this disease, which results in premature death.
She adds there is now a better understanding of who is at risk, namely women who are African American, older, have elevated hip waist ratio, or higher pulse. For more information, visit www.nhlbi.nih.gov. Health Matters is produced by the NIH, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Just a few minutes left with Con Leong of ZL Technologies. Something we were talking about during the commercial break, Con, was your software could work as well as it can possibly work, and I'm sure it does, and policies that agencies write can say whatever they say, and so on and so forth. the critical point is getting someone to take action on whatever it is that they are provided with. Are you seeing progress inside the agencies at on that part of it, which is something I know you don't have control over? You can supply services and let people take advantage of those services. But are you seeing progress in the willingness and desire of the agencies to be able to tear this information apart and put it back together again?
I see a lot of interest. Whether that translates to immediate action, we shall see. But I do see a sea change in terms of agencies moving to address what has been always a thorn on the side, for example, to answer the directive from the White House on getting the records policies and processes together. And to even, I believe the directive even specified on the 30 days after the memo, 120 days after the memo, this should be done, this should be done, this should be done. And it was very clear that these steps had to be taken, and that's really providing momentum. I'm hoping that this can then translate from what needs to be done, the mundane today, can be translated something very exciting at for very little cost.
The idea of doing something because the White House says so is certainly motivational. But it sounds like you're seeing agencies saying, yeah, we want to do this not just because we're told to, but because this is good for the way that we want to execute the mission. Is that, am I characterizing that fairly?
Yes, and also to keep the responsibilities of an open government going.
There's a lot more ground that we could cover, and unfortunately we're out of time. I thank you very much for coming in to talk to me today. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I'll look forward to following as your company progresses. Thank you very much for having me. Con Leong is the CEO, president, and co-founder of ZL Technologies, my guest on Industry Chatter. We'll archive this conversation at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, and you can listen for hour number two of In-Depth with Francis Rose coming in minutes on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio's